Time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing Word of Truth. And as we continue our study in Matthew and a dispensational view of Matthew, some of the things we're going to learn today is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, lesson 28. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. Last week we left off at verse 15, and it said, "And Jesus said unto them, Can a children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast." We understood the fact that when Jesus Christ was with the disciples, they didn't have to mourn, they didn't have to fast, because he was with them. Verse 16, 17. "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in it to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." He is talking at this time, he's talking about a change that is going to take place when he takes the kingdom of God away from the apostate Israel. Okay, you got to understand, when Jesus Christ walking in Matthew, he's dealing with the nation Israel, but there's apostate Israel out there, and then there's a believing Israel. Okay, he takes that kingdom away from the apostate Israel and gives it to a new nation that brings forth fruits thereof. Okay, what type of wine? What is wine a type of in the Bible? You know, anybody know? The Holy Spirit, okay? That's what it is. And the garment is a type of righteousness. You put on righteousness, okay? And His Spirit is righteousness. To whom will they be given? It's going to be the apostate Israel, that worn-out nation, and won't get themselves right. He's not going to give them righteousness. He's not going to give them the Holy Spirit, because they are in an apostate state. They followed other gods. They whored around with other religions, if you will. And they thought they was doing righteousness. And God comes along and says, "You don't know righteousness." And it's going to be given to a new righteous nation. And Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon that new nation, doesn't it? That believing remnant in Israel. The reason he said this in connection with John Baptist ministry, if you think about it, back over here, is the fact that he's connected with John the Baptist was something that he started brand new when John the Baptist showed up. You know, when you realize there was 400 years of silence between Malachi and John the Baptist. 400 years God did not speak, okay? But yet people says he did, and they wrote other books and things like that. But he did not speak. So when John the Baptist comes on the scene, John the Baptist had the same message in times past, or something new? Something new, didn't he? He had something new and showed up. In Luke 16:16, Jesus says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Okay? They had the law and the prophets that taught them until John. Okay, now the kingdom of God is showing up, and there's something new. A new opportunity was at hand. The kingdom of God was available to them, and that was to everybody, by the way. Israel, if you don't mind me saying that. Now the Gentiles was down here, if you got your timeline. They had an opportunity to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they either had to become a Jew or they had to bless Israel to be a part of Israel. Okay, they just couldn't go to God Almighty without going through Israel, because that's the way God set up His system. And Christ came and identified Himself to Israel and offered Himself to the nation. A new opportunity was available for them. God was not forming the new program out of an old garment. You don't put new wine in old bottles, it says, right? You don't put, but he was forming a new nation, a new program, and a new garment, and a new bottle. Christ went to the Galilee and brought out these publicans and sinners, did he not? The outcasts of the nations. And he was making a new nation out of them. We know that Lord Jesus Christ, through the studies, if you go back and listen to him, he went to Galilee up north. okay? And he started forming. He pulled all his people listening to him from up there. He didn't stay down there in Jerusalem, in that area, because who was down there? The religious, the Pharisees, the religious people. Look at me. You're not going to tell me what to do. I love that thing, you know, Paul talks about professing himself to be wise, they became fools. You know, you can't talk to a professor in a way that you and I are talking to each other right now. He will take that one little simple word, at, and it means of, and all that stuff, and he goes, well, it does, you know, he makes you look like a fool, but God says the simplicity of his word, just keep it simple, let the word say it, but you're wrong, mister. I don't care how many degrees you have. He was not taking over the anarchy. He was taking the kingdom from them and placing it in new wine bottles and new garments and making a new nation, bringing forth fruits thereof. That's why he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." See, that's why he's forming out of that little remnant group, he's forming a new nation, if you will, the true nation, the true Israel, out of all the people out there, Israel. And Matthew is consistently pointing this out to the dispensational significance of what Christ is doing. Okay, that's why, you know, if you study, we're studying through the book of Matthew, and this is lesson 28, people. By this time, you should start seeing a lot about what Matthew is showing, what God, Jesus Christ as God, as King, if you will, what he's doing in the earth through Israel and outside of what Israel was. Very important. The focus of Israel was between the righteous nation and apostate nation. That's what he's making that division. He says, don't think I've come to bring what? Peace. But I'll come to go bring sword and division. I'm going to put fathers against sons and daughters against mothers. You know why? Because if you're not right, you're going to be against them. That's why we're talking about today. You know, you need to stand for truth, don't you? You need to make sure people know that you're standing for truth and not be tossed with every winds of doctrine. The issue was Israel was between receiving John the Baptist's repentance for the remission of sins and the rejecting counsel of God against themselves being not baptized. You know, there was two groups. When John the Baptist, they said he was outside of Jerusalem, and all of Jerusalem and all Judea came and was baptized of John, except who? The Pharisees and the lawyers, and they rejected the counsels of God. See, there's two groups there. If you was over here rejecting the counsel of God, you're part of the apostate nation. If you was over here in this believing remnant, you're part of a new nation, what God's doing. Okay? Not you and I, but the nation Israel. Not identifying themselves with the believing remnant. Christ was saying, that remnant is the group through which God's program is operating, and you need to join John the Baptist group. John the Baptist preached repentance for the remission of sins, didn't he? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and the kingdom of heaven is at. Lord Jesus Christ, he preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He commissioned the 12, the same message. And then if you follow it, after death, burial, and resurrection, with Peter in Acts chapter 2, that's the same message, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, same thing John the Baptist did. So they're forming that little nation right there, that righteous nation in new wine bottles. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus rose and followed him, and said, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And he said within, and she said within herself, if I may be touched his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, her daughter, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when the woman was made whole that very hour, from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. That Jewish, I read a lot of verses there, so you know I can kind of combine them. But that Jewish ruler is a ruler of a synagogue. That's a Jewish man, and that's Matthew, Mark chapter 5, if you want to look at who he was. He was a ruler, and he appeals to Jesus to come and heal his dying daughter. Now, daughter, remember what we talked about? The daughter of Abraham, the son of Abraham, what do they get? They get blessings. If he's there to the nation of Israel, they get blessings. If he wasn't the son of Abraham or daughter of Abraham, you're not going to get nothing. It's not meat to cast my food to the dogs. Okay? On their way to her, he's going to that daughter, dying daughter. Jesus is interrupted by another sick woman who has been defiled for how many years?
12 years.
Now, does that mean anything to you? 12, the number 12? 12 apostles, 12 tribes. Okay, 12 is always represent of the nation Israel. When you hear the number 12, it always associate with Israel. She reaches out and touches his garment. Jesus calls her his daughter, and she is healed. Now, a lot of people will say, if you got commentaries in your Bible and stuff, they'll say that woman was a Gentile woman. It can't be if he called her daughter. With me? So that should be something you take note of. Both of these women are type of the state of the national Israel. That's what he's there for. He's king. He's showing him. He's the son of David and what? The son of Abraham. Okay? And it's on his way to rising up the dying daughter, that's the national Israel. He's going to revive Israel. And what do we know about the book of Matthew right now? You have to understand the book of Matthew is a dispensational book that refers to this time period over here and ages to come. You can't apply, well, you can try to apply those verses in the book of Matthew to your daily life, and it's not going to fit. It's like a round hole in a square peg. Is that right? Or a square peg in a round hole. That's it. You ever put a square peg in a round hole? It don't work. You got to whittle it. You got to force it, and you take a hammer, and finally, you just get mad and it splinters all to pieces. Yeah, I know. Many of us done that in our work. But Jesus stops to heal the woman reaching out in faith. You know what they represent of? The little flock. They're reaching out. The believing remnant, and she reaches out to him, and he heals them. Again, before Christ brings in the kingdom, he raises up and trains a little flock that will carry on the ministry after his death of the cross. See what he's doing? He trains that little remnant that he leaves behind. We train people today in the Word of God, rightly divided, to be able to carry on this message. You know, that you can give it to your children, or you can give it to your neighbor, and it continues. That's why this message is very, very important today, understanding the Word of God rightly divided. The little flock will carry on the ministry after death. Also in this passage is a picture of a dying daughter that everyone thinks is now dead, right? Because Christ stopped to heal the woman. Christ tells them that she is not dead, but is asleep. Is that what he said? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the crowd, what? Laughs at him, okay? But Christ walks in and raises her up. There's a controversy over the word dead and sleep. We're going to touch on that right now. Because Paul uses that word, those that are asleep, okay? Shall not sleep, okay? And we look at sleep and we look at dead. I hope by the time we look at some of these verses, you understand sleep and dead, same thing, okay? Some people say when you're dead like a dog. Some people say they're just sleeping in a grave, that's hell. There's a lot of doctrine out there that's in error over that. The grave is not hell. I can tell you that right now. Hell is in the center of the earth. It's a real place. And God enlarged it for those non-believers and the angels. The grave is just 6 foot underground. And it's like a, if you want to call it a resting place. We put people, oh, rest in peace, you know, for your bones. There you go. And it's in the dispensation of grace, Israel has no special status in God's program. You understand? God, you know, in times past, did Israel have a unique status in God's favor? You got to understand this, you know, when it goes back further, because when you study the Word of God, it's just like, whoa. God created the universe, did He not? Heaven and earth. And He created perfect, okay? Then Satan fell, and he corrupted the universe. Now, whether you want to believe there's life on Mars, you know, or was life on Mars, if you want to believe there's people on the dark side of the moon, I have no problem with that. But I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe when God had populated the universe at one time, okay, then it became corrupt. Then He flooded the universe. Then He separated the firmament, and there's what was in the middle of it. He put earth in there. So He takes that as a footstool, as a prized possession in the universe, and He puts Adam on here as man and says, repopulate, replenish the earth. Okay, with me? Okay. Here's all these other planets out there that might have had inhabitants on it in times past, way before we was even thought of. And He takes earth, and what does Satan do? Comes right down there and said, nope, it's my world, it's my earth. And guess what? He corrupts the seed line, he corrupts this, he corrupts that. And that's what I'm telling you. It goes way back, way back. And in the dispensation of grace, when you think about dead and sleep, the fact that what God is doing with the nation Israel, well, Adam wasn't good enough, he failed. Then people say Seth, and well, it came about Israel. And guess what they do? They joined right in there with the rest of them, with their fathers, the devils, and God chooses out of that nation a righteous nation. With me? But as He's progressing in this Matthew, He's showing that He's going to go over at that dying person, He's going to heal that nation over here. It's all a picture of what He's going to do over here in the future. Okay? Go to John chapter 11. Israel has no special status. They're asleep, but they're not dead right now. We know that. What does that do? John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 11. These things he said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. See what it says? Look, if he sleeps, it's okay. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. And then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So sleep and dead are the same. You can take a nap, okay, that's different. But when they said sleepeth, when somebody dies, they're dead. But when you see the word sleepeth, you can say, okay, they're dead. But God takes them, according to Paul's message in the dispensation of grace, the dead in Christ will rise what? First, okay, go to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14 and get Romans chapter 11. Job 14, Romans chapter 11. Job 14. Job 14, verse 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branches thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet the scent of the water, it will bud and bring forth burls like what? Like a plant. Go to Romans chapter 11. If you understand a dispensational view of God's Word, and Paul writes to the nation of Israel in Romans 9, 10, 11, he talks about a tree, doesn't he? And he talks about one grafted into the root, and you're going to bud. That's what it's talking about. If you got a tree and you prune it and it looks like dead, if it gets towards water, it'll start sprouting again, won't it? Okay? That's life. But okay, Romans chapter, what did I say? 11. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part as happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Romans 11, 11. I say, had they stumbled that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them, who's them?
Israel.
Who's, yeah, that's right. Be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What I just shared right there, what we just read, what good would it be to be a part of a dead nation? Nothing at all. So what I'm getting at in the dispensation of grace today, we know that through those verses, God has set Israel aside. Okay? But they're not dead. You with me? Because they're going to be alive over here. Okay? They're not dead. But they are not, you know, they're not dead. Hence, they are what?
Asleep.
Okay, with me? So when you see people today, and it should just make you stomp your feet and don't bang your head against the wall, but when you turn your TV on and you turn your radio on, you listen to these preachers, and they got you going to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get you saved, and they got you getting you working that you had to be a part of Israel, and you got to be this about Israel, and you got to support Israel. When God clearly says in those verses that Israel is what? Set aside. They're dead. They're asleep. So if blindness has happened in part of Israel, why do you want to be a part of a blind nation? Aren't you supposed to be walking circumspectly? Aren't you supposed to, your mind supposed to be open, you know, to that? So that's why it's very, very important to understand the Word of God rightly divided. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. I'll tell you, there's three very important books when you study the Bible. Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. And you have to look at it as a dispensational view because, you know, it's moving, it's transition. And as we've been over the last 28 weeks or so, you can see, whoa, Lord Jesus Christ is on a move here, and He's trying to get the forming that new nation and trying to get them right because His focus is over here, this kingdom over here. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Verse 25. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Jesus took her by the hand, and the girl, you know how old that girl was?
12.
12 years old. Mark chapter 5, verse 42. See the 12? He's always focused on who? Israel. He's not focused on a bunch of Gentiles like I was. Okay? He's focused on Israel. And the girl rose. This is a type of the national restoration over here. Let's look at some verses. If you don't take my word for it, let's look at some verses. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Isaiah 26, verse 19, "Thou dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, yea, they dwell in dust, for the dew as is the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." He's going to restore them over here. Okay, go to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. "After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will rise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And Ezekiel chapter 37. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting," what?
Contempt.
See that? Everybody's going to get resurrected. You think you'd just be, boy, he's dead now. He escaped out of this horrible world. You know what I mean? Everybody gets resurrected. You're either going to go to eternal life or you're going to go to eternal damnation. That's what God does. And by the way, who made that choice?
You did.
So when you die, that's the only unpardonable sin that you can commit today, if you don't mind me saying this, that if you die unsaved, you're not going to get pardoned. Everything else you can be forgiven for. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he died for all our sins, and either you trust it, that's total forgiveness, and you're resting that and assurance of that, and then you get in his word, and you start getting in his word and realize where you're at sanctification-wise. But if you die unsaved, you can't be unpardoned. And I know there's religions out there that wants to baptize for the dead, and there's religions out there that wants to, you know, pay penance for brother so-and-so, because I know he was a good guy type of thing, and I know this and that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And you made that choice, and all we can do is just share that word of truth, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and just be faithful to that, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, and guess what? It don't come back void to God. But you did your part. You with me? Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Verse 11. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesize and say unto them, Thou saith the Lord God, Behold, I, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of" what?
Israel.
So when he went in and took that little 12-year-old girl's hand, go back to Matthew, that's a picture of him restoring the nation Israel from back here in times past that believed God, okay? And he takes them over here and resurrects them. That's why if you look at that Ezekiel that we just read, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, and ankle bone, you guys know that. That's where they get that song from, okay? And he rises up a whole, if you read the verses before that, he raises up the whole army of Israel to fight over here. He don't need me coming back with Abraham riding on a white horse. You with me on that? Abraham's resurrected right here. Abraham's on earth. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 26. Let's close right there. Father, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.